Hey guys, first off, I wanted to thank you so much for sticking around with us over the last few months that we've been doing this. We are trying a new software today to edit our podcast and try to bring you a little bit more professionalism to the podcast. This also includes some of the software that we're actually using to edit it as well. So I do apologize if the audio is a little clunky and there is a little bit of a delay in some parts of the software and clip. But as we learn a little bit more about the software, hopefully we'll bring a little bit more cleanliness to it. So guys, thank you again. I really hope you enjoy the podcast and we hope to see you back. Got the normal Ezra here. He's actually on the camera right now. We also have a new one podcast streamer that's joining us hopefully for a long time, but this is her first time, Austin, aka Sunny. Sunny, tell us a little about yourself. You are a Twitch streamer. What do you stream, your decks, and just tell us a little about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm very excited for this little opportunity here. I am a streamer on Twitch and I do stream Gwent as well. I'm fairly new to the game. I've been playing for about a month, but I'm still learning everything. And this new meta just totally changed everything up and I'm just like, okay, we gotta actually start like reading and learning everything first before we even start streaming again. So yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. What are your main decks that you play? Your favorite faction? If you have like favorite cards or anything like that? What level are you? Are you pro yet? Tell us a little about yourself, because in case you didn't know, because you are new to the channel, our podcast is really centered around people who want to play Gwent, who are new to the game, that might find the game a little bit difficult to get into. So we're definitely trying to cater to everyone, especially people who are new or not pros yet.
Right. So I'm currently rank 15, I believe. My highest was rank 14, and I'm playing monsters currently. I haven't really dabbled in any other faction other than monsters. I'm not sure why. I think monsters just speaks to me, but I am interested in looking at maybe Nilfgaard later, maybe Syndicate later. I'm not sure. I just kind of go with the flow, but I'm really new to it, so I don't really know what I should say about my playstyle or anything, if that's what you wanted to know.
I think a lot of people, when they first start playing the game, start off playing monsters, I think, because that's the starter deck it starts you out with. I also think the Thrive mechanic is one of the easiest ones to get a grasp of. But monsters can be definitely a difficult faction to play once you get a little bit further into the ranks and stuff like that. So that's cool to know there's another person playing monsters. I actually played monsters, I want to say, up to about 6 or 7. Because like I said, the Thrive mechanic is awesome. You have Ethereal, Azreal, all those. Ethereal wasn't around back then, but Jaeger and all those cards. So let's get into the new season, the Season of the Dryad, update 7.2. To say things have changed would be quite an understatement. We honestly don't really know where to start. There are so many changes. I guess, what would you guys think are the biggest changes? So, like, the biggest change that kind of blew you away? I know mine is the return of Harmony. I think that's just
crazy. We're going to definitely talk about the biggest change that came with this patch, and it would be the new leader abilities.
OK, Okay, so you're thinking leader abilities.
Then we got what? NR got the most in terms of reworks and or added. They have three. And then I believe Nilfgaard got two. Monsters got three as well, I believe. And then SK got one or two. Yeah, two. Scoia'tael got, I believe, two as well. And then Seneca only got one.
Yeah, so I think the Nilfgaard ones are really interesting. I mean, so the main component of the game, in case you guys didn't know, is you start off with a set of cards in your hand. Lady B 420, thank you so much for the sub. Really appreciate it. We're doing a live podcast here, guys. So if you do have any questions about the game or anything like that, please let us know in the chat. But yeah, I mean, I think with the leader, so the game essentially start off with a certain amount of cards in your hand. One of the biggest advantages of Gwent, if you played your decks correctly, was the ability to draw as many cards as you can and to draw the cards you need to draw. Well, it turns out that those leader abilities were just, in my opinion, way too powerful for the game. So pretty much any leader ability that gave you the option to draw more cards or the ability to draw a certain set of cards has been removed from the game. So strategic withdrawal, maybe not draw cards, but play additional cards per turn was probably the best way to say it. So strategic withdrawal was removed, which allowed you to pull a card off the field that you've already played and put it back on. Mystic Echo has been removed, which allows you to play a special card from the graveyard. So these are all ways for you to play an additional card through. And then with Nilfgaard, the imprisonment, I think it's very interesting. I think, what is it, three lock charges or four lock charges?
Two. But with Damien, that's another two. And then, like I said this morning, I was running into Damien Letho. So technically, you got four collar lock charges on top of your own stratagem. So technically, you could have five before even really playing your actual lock cards. It's retarded.
Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely interesting to see. I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know. What was the patch released at 4 or 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time? I know all you guys, I know we have.
Yeah, I was up early this morning to check it out. I was like, okay, I'm up, might as well play it. And then three games in, I ran into that deck. I'm like, okay, this is going to be weird.
So we try to keep our podcast to, wouldn't say a short amount of time, but an optimal amount of time that, you know, you can listen to it on your way to work. You can listen to it when you got a little bit of time to spare. We don't like to make them too long, but we're going to try to go through some of the factions and the card changes and the meta changes quickly as we can. And then we'll go a little bit more into depth in the future podcast. So with neutral cards, these are cards that do not have an affiliation with the faction. So if you play these cards in your deck, you'll lose the ability to play things like Devotion, which essentially means you maintain that card. All your cards are to one faction. So your neutrals, the White Frost card has been renamed to Blizzard. The Siri ability has been changed as well to damage three units by one. Whenever you lose a round, return this unit to your card. The big one being Ethereal. So Ethereal is now changed from Provision 9 to 8. And essentially a provision is the amount of points that card is worth, and you only have a certain amount of points you can spend to make a deck. But the bigger thing is that it's a deploy ability, and it's not an automatic ability. So what kind of things do we see there? How do you guys think that will affect it?
Well, I definitely think it slows it down quite a bit, because we know when it's a deploy, it's a one-time use, meaning once it's played, that's it. And then now I believe it creates an order copy, so then you have to wait a turn for that order to kick in. So now the player actually has a chance to respond to killing the ordered copy.
Yeah, it's very easy to kill the chain of ethereals now.
Yeah, just the four hit card will kill it, and then ethereal's dead. Before it was, you just played a card and then put a fruit next to ethereal, and then bam, that was it. And then you just kept the chain going. Like, you didn't even have time to react.
Yeah, pretty much rip.
But the title of my chat is Rest in Peace, Ethereal. Well, let's see.
As an Ethereal player, thank you.
I saw your, I think it was you that put the tweet, look what they done to my boy. I was like,
yeah.
But also looking at some other changes. So One Iron Man C is an Echo card. I think one of the most powerful cards. Provision's been changed from 12 to 13, which I think was think was needed for sure. Essentially, it allows you to play any card you want twice. It goes into your graveyard the first round, and then comes back into your hand the second round. Then some small changes to Watchman Power, Iron Falcon, Knife Juggler, power change from 1 to 2, which I think is pretty good. I mean, I don't think it's played enough to get bleed abilities. It's the bleed card, I think. Iron Falcon.
Isn't that the one where it just places bleed on 2 random units, right?
Yeah, 2
random. I think it's units. 2 bleed for, like, a 4 provision card. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad at all. So going over to monsters, I know the Carapace leader ability has changed to boost an allied unit by 3 and give it Veil, which is really,
Which is nice, because that makes tall units and pretty much invincible now, almost.
And the provision bonus has changed from 16 to 15, which makes it a little bit easier to get fit into certain decks. What else do we have? Force of Nature leader ability has been changed to spawn and play a Woodland Spirit. The provision has been changed from 16 to 15. And there's a new token called the Woodland Spirit, which is a relic, power 9, and doomed. I won't play too much of that, so...
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody running that one yet, because, I mean, it's basically just a 9 token. But, I mean, that's all it does.
It's good for Thrive, but that's it.
Yeah, like, it's a one-time Thrive use.
They've also rotated out Death Shadow, so... Kiki Queen decks are definitely not as viable as they used to be. Also, you have the White Frost leader ability I actually really like, which I thought was missing from the last the expansion they just did, Master Mirror. They introduced the Frost ability, which essentially a certain amount of points are dealt against certain people on a row, whether you have dominance, how long it's on that row. This essentially is a leader ability that you can move an enemy to the other row and spawn Frost on it for 2 turns. So decks that rely a lot on being in the melee row, let's say like a Skellige deck, this could be really nice to move stuff back and forth and to place things on the certain rows you actually have Frost.
It's okay. I don't think it's that great, to be honest, but... it kind of works well with the Wild Hunt deck, obviously, because they are all about Frost, but it feels a little weak, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say as well. I feel like it's just basically playing Bruiser twice.
I mean, Bruiser can be a good card.
Except that he doesn't play the Frost.
He does
on the
damage
road, he
to you if you get pushed on a row that has Frost. I still think Frost has yet to see its strength. I think people are still starting to learn some of the meta still. You saw it a lot with Northern Realms, like where they came out of. All of a sudden, they're one of the top tier decks. So, yeah, I think it might be a little underwhelming right now, but I think there is a chance it gets a little bit better. Arboron King, the Invader, and Conqueror Power has been changed 6 to 5, and Provisions has been upped. It'll be interesting to see how people play the Arboron Kings. And then you have Caranther, Provision changed from 8 to 9, which I found a little weird now that people aren't playing Caranther as much, because Caranther has to be played on a monster card now. It used to be any card, correct?
Yeah.
So it's interesting they changed that. And the Wild Hunt Riders and Foglets have been changed from 3 to 4, which is kind of interesting.
I mean, yeah, if you play Oberon into a Wild Hunt Rider plus the 2 from your deck, what is that? 5 plus 9, 13, that's a 17-point play.
Somebody would
land back on their stuff. No, with them being able to be deployed if you have dominance.
So then you have, when you go into Skellige, they've rotated out the Sacrificial Vanguard leader ability from the game, which we were just talking about. They're trying to remove the ability to play additional cards. Now, this didn't do that, but it gave the value of being able to thin your deck out to be able to find the cards they needed, which was another reason why they removed it. Second Wind is gone. I wish I could scream right now. I'm so excited, but Second Wind has been removed from the game, and they've actually have a new leader ability called Battle Trance. Spawn and play Marjoram. Whenever you play an alchemy card, heal a random allied unit by 1. So that would be really good, I'm guessing, in a Crow Mother deck. Am I thinking correctly?
Yeah, or the beasts, the ones who were inflicting damage on themselves.
Okay, yep.
I think it would work perfect with, what's that guy's name? The big bear? When that transforms into a 12.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember which one that is. I don't play lots of Skellige, so you'll have to...
Yeah, like, I never ran that card that much either, but I know he works. If he gets down to, like, what, 3 or something like that?
Yeah, it's either 3 or 4 he transforms. Then you have Rage of the Sea, spawn rain on an enemy row for one turn, and a deafening siren on the opposite row. So again, they're trying to bring weather more into the game. So I thought we'd see a lot more with the new Frost, but I didn't see as much weather as I thought it was. I think that's where Sunny was kind of saying that the weather just hasn't really come out, and like Frost appears to be underwhelming to a lot of people. So it'd be interesting to see if weather comes to the forefront again, but I think it might be a while.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because weather can be. Oh my God, what's that card that does weather effect to both the Cataclysm?
Oh yeah.
Oh my Lord, that was the worst.
I mean, who remembers Skellige Storm? It damaged every unit on the row.
Yeah. The Ursine Ritual tooltip update. Damage on a unit by 1. Charge. Once all units are up, spawn a bear abomination. And then Holgar Blackhand. Like, again, these are cards that, you know, either Ezra's or Sonya is going to have to speak to because I didn't play too much of them. So do you guys have any thought on the Ursine Ritual and Holgar Blackhand ability changes?
I haven't played either of those, so I can't.
So basically what he was basically the herald of ship decks. So like when you played a ship, he was going to swing you for 1. Or when you played a pirate, he was going to boost up by 1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was basically built around the ship and the pirates more. So it's a good idea for him to be in there because he's basically, if you want to sense, like the Blackbeard of that particular style.
I think what was interesting is I didn't even I kind of glanced through this quickly as I got up this morning and I was trying to get more sleep, but I was like, you know what, let me get on and play a little bit. And I didn't read the part that the greatsword power has been changed from 5 to 10. And I saw that and I was like, what? And then the moment it gets dropped, it damages itself by 5, which is really interesting. Now, whenever an enemy unit takes damage, it heals self by 1.
For 6 is nuts, but I mean, that's the highest he can go, though.
Yeah, so pretty much the developer comments around it were that Greatsword has lost its ability to boost indefinitely and will be healing back the damage he inflicts on himself as part of the deploy. This reimagination of his ability sets a clear point ceiling for the card while also creating new synergies with self-winning archetypes or cards that bypass deploy abilities like Sigdrifa's Right. So. And there are a lot of Skellige changes. I mean, you have Raiders, ability Bloodthirst was fixed to work when players summon. You have provision changes on Herald and Crate, Warmonger and the Cripple moved from 11 to 12. Marauder moved from 2 to 3. Which was a Trigby moved from 11 to 10 provision. Actually got reduced. Crow Mother moved from 3 to 4. Blood Eagle moved from 11 to 12. So definitely something there. Burner Braun moved from 5 to 6, and the Skirmisher moved from 3 to 4. So definitely some changes there. I guess moving over to Northern Realms now, the Mobilization Leader ability has been changed to order spawn a base copy of a Bronze Allied Soldier on its row and boost it by 3. So Mobilization remains similar in its effect, but it no longer plays the card you target or requires you to keep a copy in your deck. Ooh, making it more versatile and easier to use. Make sure it stays close to its current power level. It is limited to Bronze Soldiers only, which still leaves players with a sizable pool of targets. Yeah, and makes Citrian Royal Guard Dream a possibility. So I've seen some Citrian Royal Guard decks that work, and I'm just like, how am I supposed to stop this?
Yeah, especially when they're boosting each other by 3 every time they're played, or other copies of them are played.
Yeah.
See, and this also makes it, too, where even Blue Stripes can now be a very viable deck. Even more now, because now you can, but the original mechanic was you can make up to 6 copies with Blue Stripes, and now you can make up to 7 with Mobilization.
Yeah. Now, looking over Pincer Remover, the leader ability has been changed to draw a Northern Realms card of your choice and shuffle a card from your hand back to the deck if the drawn card was in unit boosted by 5. And the provision bonus has been changed from 12 to 15. So pretty heavy. But their point on this was that it retains a similar effect without the play a card component. Extra consistency for card combos and 5-point boost for the drawn card should keep it very impactful in the round that is played in. So, I mean, you're still kind of getting a choice of what card, but I guess maybe because you're putting it back in your deck, I'm not 100% sure why that's different. But
I mean, it's basically just another deck search component. You know, you could search exactly what you want with no provision cap. So it's basically a very more powerful AA, but at a cost of, you know, reshuffling a card in your deck.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that, yeah, it is basically just having AA times 3, but, you know, you get a 5-point boost.
Vicious Slash has been removed from the game. I didn't even know what Vicious Slash was. And the reason they removed it was because nobody was playing it. So,
it was basically a kill card. Kill ability. It hit for 8. On the target that you hit it with, existing damage would carry over to the left and to the right as bleed.
It literally says it hardly fits with any Northern Realms or anything that Northern Realms was trying to do as a faction or accomplish or any existing synergies, which is why it's being rotated out. So that's kind of funny. So we were just talking about Shield Wall, or you were saying that it's broken when played with Anseas, did you say?
Yeah, because a shield on Anseas, when he's boosted up by 2 or 1, he can kill a 16 card.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was always there. You had to play a different card, of course. It wasn't a leader ability, but you could put a shield on it that worked well. But, I mean, you'd have to pretty much draw one of two cards in order to do it. So there's a little bit better distribution chain. Yeah, so I mean that's definitely a strong combo for sure. Siege Master power change from 3 to 4, and to boost an allied unit by 2. Resupply boosts adjacent siege units by 1. So resupply is if the card is played between 2 soldiers.
That's the crew ability, and resupply is.
Yes. Pikeman power is changed from 3 to 4, damage enemy unit by 2, boost self by 1. The field medic power has been changed from 1 to 2, Dunbanner provision reduced from 5 to 4, and Blue Stripes commando provision changed from 6 to 5.
See what I mean? 7 copies of Blue Stripe commandos coming
out. Wow. Northern Realms looking kind of big right now.
Looking juicy
for sure. So Scoia'tael Harmony is back. So whenever you play a card whose primary category is unique amount what's already been played, it boosts by 1. So if you guys don't play or haven't played for long, you know, they've kind of switched it to Symbiosis, and Harmony would have to be on the same row essentially. So definitely it's back. Yeah, so I guess their whole process was, it felt awkward, and now that, you know, Mystic Echo is gone and there's the ways to abuse that mechanic is gone, they figured it would make the most sense to bring it back.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also just the simple fact that when it did die, pretty much ST just went out the door as a viable deck. It went to, you know, be in the tier 1 deck for, what, 4.5 months?
Oh, yeah, for a while.
Yeah, it was for at least, like, I want to say an entire journey pass, which is about 3 months. And then they just said, you know what, we're going to nerf Harmony.
Yeah. Call of Harmony leader ability has been changed to spawn and play Dana Med, which essentially is a relic and will trigger all of your Harmonies. So that could be super strong. Of course, we said Mystic Echo has been rotated out of the game, which allowed you to play a special card from your graveyard. New leader ability is the Symbiosis, given allied unit vitality with a charge of 2. Or vitality for 3 turns with a charge of 2. So,
going back to that new token ability,
needs to get on.
The Call of Harmony, that card, that token also even comes with Harmony as well.
There you go. So the nature's gift, which is the symbiosis, makes it so every nature special plate spawns at least one wandering Trent thanks to its symbiosis. Straight boost with charges could be hoarded to be a last play in a mostly spell-based deck. Maybe that brings back Spell Yotel, which is why Vitality seems like a better fit for it, in addition to matching the theme better and having some existing synergies. We have Guerrilla Tactics provision change from 15 to 16. And then Zoltan's company ability has been changed to spawn 3 rowdy dwarves on an allied roll. If you control Zoltan, give 1 armor to all dwarves on that roll. That could be nice. Then we have Rahed Brigade ability change to damage enemy unit by 2. Whenever move damage a random enemy unit by 2.
Yeah, so basically, you played it on a row and then you used Melina to move it, and it just repeated its deployability over and over.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of not busted, but like with as many move cards that Scoia'tael does have, and then the fact that Melina can move once per turn, it was basically just hitting you for 2 just for being moved back and forth, you know?
Yeah. And then there's just some more, I kind of lost track here. Dwan Canal, Guardian, power change from 3 to 4, ability change to Veil Symbiosis, damage enemy unit by 2. Mahakam, volunteers, power change from 3 to 4, and if you control a dwarf, summon all copies of this unit from your deck to this row. So pretty much this just gives you the ability to choose which row you want to have more dwarves on. The Young Queen, Mother, and Wrath of the Rolakond have been changed from 11 to 2. We have some Sentry now has armor. The Dwarven Chariot's power changed from 3 to 4. The Bomber's power changed from 1 to 2. The Dwarven Skirmisher changed from 1 to 2. And the Sentinel provision changed from 5 to 4. So now getting into Nilfgaard. Tactical Decision Leader ability changed to spawn and play Morkbon Vorhis, which is kind of crazy. So it essentially lets you draw up to 3 cards from the top of your deck, then place the same amount back in the order you choose.
Yes, very nice. I tried it out. I was like, okay, I could set Masquerade Ball if I really don't want to play it right now. I could set Vincent or, you know, even Brathens. Like, it's pretty crazy how you could set it in the order you want.
Yeah, I love the developer comment, too. It's like, there's so many things you can do with this, and we don't really have time to tell you. They rotate out the strategic withdrawal, which we talked about, and then now, we talked about that before, the imprisonment, lock an enemy unit and damage it by 3. So 2 charges, and it might only seem like 6 points, but that is, talk about a control deck, especially if you're playing a Seize deck, if you're playing Masquerade Ball, if you're playing a Spies deck. I mean, you can do so much with that.
Yes, like the guy already told you this morning.
I cannot freaking wait to just rage quit all day with that deck. It's going to be fantastic.
It literally, like I said, round 3, I had 8 units in my hand, and the other 2 were specials. One was I believe I had Smoke Them Out, and I can't remember the other card. Oh, I had my AA, and all 8 of my units ended up getting locked because he had the Purifies to take care of the Veils, and then he also had Damien and Letho on his melee row being protected by his defender. And I was like, okay, I can't do anything.
And it looks like Nilfgaard got a little bit of a nerf here, too. The Imperial Formation only has 3 charges now instead of 4. And the provision has gone up. That was definitely, I wouldn't say an overpowerful leader ability, but it really removed the ability for people to play removal cards like Boiling Oil, like Stunning Blow. It would force almost people to play things like Parasite if they were a monster. So I think that's a good change. I think that was a little bit too powerful.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, what, you had four last season, and it's two every turn.
Like a really slow
and then you play Alpha. That's a 13-point play
from
right there.
To four. If you control a soldier, summon all copies of this unit from your deck to this row. Brigade, Nausicaa Brigade, damage enemy unit by one. If the enemy is boost, damage it by three instead. The imposter provision bonus has changed from 14 to 15. Brathens has been dropped in power from 4 to 3. I think another good move for that card. I would have liked to have seen a provision change, but hey. Vavinda Tabris provision change from 10 to 9. So this is interesting too. So don't feel as much of a nerf to this card. Vincent Van Morlahem power has been changed from 5 to 3, and the provision changed from 11 to 10. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's one of the most powerful cards in the game, if played correctly, especially now. Maybe they did it because they're giving imprisonment more of abilities to play statuses on cards, so they felt like they had to reduce the cost, but to reduce the provision, I think, is interesting.
Yeah, like, it's 50-50 as to whether it's a buff or it's a nerf, honestly. I mean, it's more of a buff that you can now fit, you know, maybe something else in your deck. But yeah, it's I don't really know. I'm not an NG main.
Yeah.
You would have to tell me whether you feel.
I don't know if you guys, some of the viewers watch Blapsap. He used to be on the podcast. But him and me kind of both had the same thing. We were like, they didn't really nerf it. They just made it easier to get in my deck. So, because we weren't, look, when we played Vincent, we weren't trying to get points from it. We were just trying to remove something incredibly powerful from the other side of the board. So, Ursifer Officer General and Emperor provisions have been changed from 11 to 12. I think it's a good idea. The battle preparation boost has been increased. And Fionn Von Garnel power has been changed to 2-1. Light Cavalry, 2-3. Hunting Pack, power change from 3-4. I think that's really interesting. You're going to see a lot of Hunting Packs now. Then the Siege Engine categories to following cards. Healthy Helga, I found that really interesting. And Rot Tosser got a Siege Engine. I guess that makes a lot of sense. And Fire Scorpion and Menginol. And Syndicate, I'm going to be honest. I don't play Syndicate. So I looked at this and I was very... Yeah, I didn't really know how to feel about it. Going through it really quickly, I know you started to play Syndicate a lot, Ezra. What do you think about it?
Oops. Great. I mean, Syndicate has a few crime cards that are okay. But yeah, like I said, it wasn't as impactful as Mystic Echo or any of those other cards that allowed you to display something from your graveyard, you know? And then Pirate's Cove, that's just a weird ability. I mean, Sea Jackal's good, but I mean, it's four coins plus a guy who can boost himself by two, especially if you have hoarded over, what, seven, I believe? You have to have seven frame to even get a three boost. Like, that's not really that impactful. I mean, it...
I see Sacred Flame, that might be big, ability change to deploy, spawn a Zealot on both sides of the card, and then boost all allied. So now it looks like it's boosting everywhere. It doesn't matter where it is, instead of just on a main row.
That card was changed. It used to actually spawn a Firesworn to the left, to the right, and then on the order next turn, it would boost every unit on the row. Now it just boosts all of Firesworn units.
So that could definitely get pretty strong potential there.
It's basically another Disarray or Bone Talisman, just for Firesworn though.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of changes to it. A lot of information that we went over. I guess if we could say what your guys' main takeaways are from it, what you're looking forward to, what you're not looking forward to, and possibly what faction or deck you're going to be focusing on the most.
We still have the Bersodi brothers getting completely changed. And then we got Horse and Freak Show, basically taking Horse Pisodi's ability, I believe. Yeah. No, Ewald, basically, is now the new Horsen. What else? I think that's about it. And then, you know, Syndicate losing provisions and power.
You going to continue to focus on Skellige? You going to try to something? I mean, you're going to focus on all factions, right? But is there a certain faction you're super excited about to get going with, a deck you've been playing already?
Definitely going to be probably doing more NR Syndicate this season.
Nice.
For sure. And maybe, I'm going to try and make a Skoid Zell deck with Shirios for fun.
Yeah. Sonny, what about you? Are you going to be focusing just as much on monsters? Do you have a certain card or deck you're excited about?
Yeah, well, since Ethereal is nerfed, I've been trying to get him to work. I did a few matches, actually, with, let me just bring it up here. What was it called? It was, like, the one artifact that gave Zeal and a boost by 3. Started with a P. It wasn't Thunderbolt. It was, like, it started with something Peter or something.
Oh, PG Filter.
Yeah, that okay. one. So I've been running like 2 of those in my deck with Ethereal, and instead of fruits, I would use my Night Wraith
okay.
for the rats mm-hmm. to go off of that. And it's been working all right. It gives you like 22 points, I'd say, in one round. But it's definitely not, it cannot be compared to like the original Ethereal, like automatic. Turn yeah. transformation, like there's no way it can compare, but it's a nice little surprise for the enemy, especially when you go from putting down 2 artifacts, staying at 0, and they're at like 18-19 points, and then you put down Ethereal, and you know it works for like very specific mm-hmm. Scenarios. But aside from that, I'm looking forward to like Wild Hunt decks, I guess, since we want to take advantage of that new leader ability, and I'm definitely going to invest in maybe Nilfgaard. Okay. They still seem to be doing very well, so I want to get in on that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
You know, this may actually be the first time that monsters could actually rely on their defender to protect Ethereal this time. Yeah. Like now, maybe. Ethereal with the defender protecting it is definitely the way to go if you want to get around the whole order ability. Cutting off the chain.
Mm. Yeah, I'm interested to see, for instance, I want to see monsters come a little bit more out of the woodwork than, I mean, like last season, it seemed like they were going to take off. People thought Wild Hunt was really strong. I know I saw some early decks by Freddy Babes, and he was playing it. Spyro had a really good early Wild Hunt Frost deck that I was really excited for, but it just seemed to just die out. I think once people started learning how strong the other metas were, they kind of bounced out of it a little bit. So I'm really, really excited to see what possibly could change there. Nilfgaard for sure. I mean, that's my main faction. I'm really interested to see how Imprisonment's going to work with Masquerade Ball. I might even add, I don't remember what the card is called. It gives you +1 anytime there is a locked unit on the board. That could be really interesting, adding that back into decks. So I'm interested to see that. I'm incredibly excited for Skellige. I mean, I played the Waters of Brilliken, the Double Harmony, or the Double Waters with Mystic Echo a ton. Now that's gone. I felt like once they removed Harmony, it really killed Skellige. Like, I don't care how good you were at the game. I mean, you had Deadeye Ambush, and that was kind of it. Then you had some symbiosis stuff, but it never seemed like it worked well. It felt clunky. That's interesting to see. I think there's a lot of cool things that I'm excited for, and we're going to get into it actually after the podcast. So you guys have any final thoughts or words or pitches for your channels or anything like that?
In our show to all.
What was that?
I said in our shield wall. being able to kill a 16 is nuts. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
just,
well,
that's just on the first turn.
That's a strong ability. When I saw the combo with adding the shield on it earlier in the season, I was pretty impressed by it. But it felt like it was too. You had to get the right cards at the right time. I felt like.
Yeah, you had to either rely on having your stratagem mm-hmm. from Bredea or something, or even
running,
you know, Artificer, or you know, to put a shield on him.
Yeah.
Like now, it's just place Unseus, give him a 2 boost, and then get a shield, and you can instantly, you know, smack something. And then...
yeah. So yeah, I think that pretty much ends the podcast, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, I wanted to apologize for the lack in content there for a few weeks. Life kind of caught up to a couple of us. And we really appreciate your patience. We're also trying out a new software now to make the streamers who join in a little bit more accessible. You can put a face to the voice, a location to the voice. And it's also, like I said from the beginning, this podcast is meant to highlight new and upcoming streamers, bring them into the spotlight, and make the game just a little bit more accessible for people who want to get into it. Again, guys, thank you so much. I will include the streamers' information in the podcast. We should have it updated by tomorrow, and hopefully the audio will sound much more professionally mixed. So guys, thank you again, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.